Spending a day with a plumber here at Rosie on the House. We're talking water heaters and how dangerous they can be. And we were talking about they actually could turn into missiles. Shooting, y'all were repairing one recently. It blew the garage door off its hinges. And then we were talking a little bit earlier about the one in 09 that blew through the roof, blew the house off its foundation, and landed at a bus stop 300 feet away. What is it that causes that kind of pressure in a water heater?
Well, you know, when water heats up, it expands, and if there's nowhere for it to go, it blows.
And it just builds up and builds up. It literally turns into a rocket if the bottom of it blows out. That's what that little spring-loaded brass-looking fixture is on the on the top of your water heater. That's the temperature and pressure relief valve.
Right. If it gets too hot or the pressure gets too much, it just opens up enough to relieve that pressure. It doesn't take a whole lot of water to relieve the pressure either. Just a little bit will leak out.
And that's why it's copper. You'll see the copper tubing out somewhere to your home. You don't want that in plastic. It'll melt that
it's
up.
It's against code, yeah.
So it's the one where you'll see a copper piped somewhere to the exterior of your home.
It's got a little silver lever on it. You can actually actuate the lever itself and hear the pressure relief valve go. It's plumbed in solid copper all the way to the outside, because should it ever activate, it's going to be extremely hot water that's coming out of it, and you don't want that just spraying through the house and the chance of scalding somebody.
One more thing on that, Rose, though. If you ever do see that leaking, don't plug it.
Don't
if it's releasing water and you see water coming out that copper line, never plug that line.
Because you're taking away the escape mechanism, the safety mechanism of the whole appliance.
Yeah, that's what happened to the house that where it went through the roof. They plugged it.
I bet they'll never do that again.
No.
I bet they'll never do that again. All right, we've got people. We've promoted this as a day with a plumber. Let's get some homeowners that want to spend a day with a plumber. Romy, who are we going to bring in next?
Jim is our next caller online. Welcome to the program. How may we help you this morning, sir?
Hey, good morning, you guys. How's everybody?
Very, very good.
Appreciate all you guys do. As always, great advice. One question, I don't know how hard it is, but if we buy an existing home, is it possible to put a soft water loop in it, or is it just too cost prohibitive?
Well, that's, I guess, two questions there. Yes, it is possible, and the cost will depend on the water piping system and what would need to be done. Sometimes it's very simple. You can just loop it in through the garage. You want to make sure, though, that the water you do soften doesn't also soften your hard water or water to the pool or other fixtures that would not be good to, have soft water.
10-4. Okay, so, but it can be kind of expensive as well, then.
Every house is different. I mean, I have seen some fairly easy soft water loops that are installed, but then I have to tell you, my house was built in the 60s, and when we added a water softener, the water treatment company hated me.
Well, you got a flat roof too, right?
He wanted to put it over the roof, and I said, I made him trench all the way around. It was a 400-foot trench, 18 inches deep around the foundation of the outside of the house. It was a pain. We had sprinkler irrigation valves on the front and the back of the house that he had to get to.
So you're the worst case scenario.
I was the worst case scenario. I really was. And it's really a case-by-case check.
That's right.
Yeah. But to answer your question, yes, it absolutely can be done. Thank you for the call. Let's bring Diane into the conversation and see what we can help her with this morning. And as we take calls, no, that does clear the lines at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Diane, good morning, ma'am.
What's your plumbing question?
Okay, I have a water feature in my house. I'll call it a pond, for lack of a better word, little waterfall. We filled it up with water, and it seemed like it was evaporating kind of fast, so we decided to mark it, and it seemed like it's going down like an inch or so overnight. And then maybe a year or so ago, we noticed that we were getting several tiles cracked in the house, like maybe 30 tiles, so we don't know if it's leaking the water out under the foundation and kind of causing that.
How deep is this water feature?
Maybe a foot and a half.
Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to get a 5-gallon bucket, and I want you to put it in the middle of the water feature, and I want you to fill the bucket to the same level of water as is in the pond. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, and then run the pond overnight. If it's evaporation, you'll lose as much out of the bucket as you will out of the water feature. If it's a leak, the bucket will still be at the old water mark high, and the pond will be lower. I'm worried you do have a leak. You're not going to lose an inch overnight in an indoor water feature. But this would be one. This would be one way to double verify that.
Okay. So then, what if it is a leak? Then what do we need to do besides removing it?
Well, then we have to find out if it's a leak in the actual body of the water feature, and that can probably be repaired with some epoxy cement, a product we call ThoroSeal. It can probably be recoated and solved. If it's in the plumbing that's underneath the slab, that can be a bit more problematic. Chris, y'all do a lot of sub-slab investigations. How do you find those leaks?
Well, if we could cap off the lines and pressurize the lines that go to the pond and back, we may be able to do that. But I don't know if that's really something we would handle as far as a pond inside the home being considered plumbing.
Let's just talk about any subsurface leak, sub-slab leak. Yeah, you're doing it electrically or you're doing acoustically?
Both. We have the ability to trace the lines and then listen to see if we can hear the leak. And a lot of times, like most leaks are hot side leaks, so you usually have a hot spot as well. So if you've got a nice bathroom with all of a sudden you start getting a nice warm floor, you probably have a problem with a leak under slab.
Yeah. And why is it that hot water tends to create a problem there more often than cold water?
Because the pipe, believe it or not, it does expand and contract a little bit and rubs against the soil or another pipe, that causes all.
Okay. Well, Miss Diane, I hope that helps. Give it the bucket test overnight. That'll tell you whether or not you are suffering excessive evaporation. I can't imagine with an air conditioner takes moisture out of the air, but I can't imagine it's taking enough out of there to evaporate an inch out of a pond, depending on what size it is.
Well, not unless she's got like a big Labrador that's just using that for drinking water.
And then we got to decide, is it the shell of the water feature itself, which could be a fairly simple repair, or if it's the buried plumbing, and that could be a bit more. But that cracking tile worries me. She does need to get it fixed.
Absolutely. Appreciate the call. Sean in Green Valley, welcome to the program. Back on topic of water heaters.
Hi, how you guys doing this morning?
Very well.
I'm actually a first-time caller. I'm a tradesman down here in Green Valley, and I listen to you guys just to get some knowledge on the other stuff that I don't deal with.
And you're listening to us on KGVY?
No, actually, I listen to on KNST.
On KNST, okay.
Get it on either one.
Yep, you can pick up either one. Go ahead.
So I live in an apartment here in Green Valley, and randomly through the night, and after I get done taking a shower, my water heater starts making a whining noise. Like it's it's filling with water, but the water's coming up against something to make a whining noise. And it happens randomly through the night, as well as right after I get done taking a shower. So I was just concerned that the water heater might have an issue that's developing that I should probably get solved.
Whining water heater, Chris.
Well, a lot of times that's the water heater running. The electric going through the element does make a noise. And sometimes if that element is too close together, it'll make a high-pitched noise. One thing I would say to check it real quick would be turn the power off to the water heater, take a shower, and then go listen to it and see if it's not making the noise, then it's going to be an electrical issue, which is probably nothing wrong with it at all.
Okay, excellent. I was just concerned because it also just will randomly start making that noise say like 2:30 in the morning.
Well, that'll be when the water heater drops in temperature. It actually will lose temperature overnight, and it has to turn back on and heat itself back up a little bit.
Okay, excellent. I was just concerned because I know, water heaters have the ability to turn themselves into rockets, and I just didn't want to... I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't an issue that was compounding itself.
Well, make sure and verify the pressure relief valve. Now, Chris, I've got plumbers that tell me never, ever test your pressure relief valve. What's your thought on that?
I can almost guarantee if the water heater's probably over 2 or 3 years old and you go to test it, it will leak. But you know what? If that's the case, that is what saves you from a potential catastrophe.
Okay.
If it doesn't go back and reseal, just have it replaced.
Okay. But testing it might be a good idea for peace of mind, just knowing that the spring does work and it's not frozen shut with calcium buildups, and it will operate when the need arises.
That's correct.
Okay. And like you say, if it's that
old and crusty on there. It may not reseal, but that's better than not having one that doesn't work.
Yeah, having to replace it and being safe is much better than having one that doesn't work.
Appreciate the call. Gail's next online, wants to talk about a wall-mounted toilet. Gail, welcome to the program.
Right. My house is from about 1976. I'm in Mesa, and I love the wall-mounted toilets. We've had them before, but I'm concerned now with the age of the house and the age of the plumbing, and I participated in a couple of organizations where I would like to host a party, but some of the people in the group are a little larger than I am, and I'm concerned about how much weight those toilets might hold. I have two bathrooms, and they're back-to-back. The toilets are actually back-to-back. And I'm wondering if I need to think about bracing those up.
That back-to-back adds a level of complication to this whole project.
I've never been asked this question before, and I don't really know what they're rated for, but, you know, I would think they're rated pretty darn high.
With the proper backing in, I mean, you have to put quite a bit of backing. We're going to have to do some saw cutting to get down to the P-traps in the floor.
Well, if you're going
to
change it.
Yeah, change it from a floor mount to a wall hung.
But she's asking if she could possibly put something underneath it to kind of help with that weight, like when her party comes over. Is that right?
That's correct.
You know, if you could find something that would fit underneath it and maybe help support that weight and make you have a little more peace of mind, that might be good.
In Mesa, she could check with Ferguson, Central Arizona Supply, the manufacturer. She could call Ben Franklin, and y'all could do a manual test to just see what the weight restrictions are on those. How would she get a hold of your office? What's the number?
480-812-1855.
I love wall-mounted units. I really do. I can see. I don't know why they haven't caught on more than they have. We'll be right back, y'all.